He basically single-handedly mainstreamed the word socialist over the last 4 years.
Warning. The political trade features probabilities and perspectives about politicians, political parties, political outcomes, and political wagering. The political trade is rated NSFP, not safe for partisans.
The number one biggest game is with the kingdom of fame. It's like a race at the top because they want to be boss. They don't care who they step on as long as they get along. Politicians in my eyes.
This is The Political Trade, the podcast for people with a passion for politics, probability, and profits. I'm Jeff Joseph, the editorial director of Luckbox Magazine, hosting the podcast where conservatives and liberals, Republicans and Democrats, partisans and wingnuts all come together to make money betting on politics. Trading in the prediction markets at Predictit.org. So Predictit is this fun, and we did have fun last night, legal online marketplace that lets users trade on political and economic outcomes. It's basically like a stock market for politics, and it trades 24/7. Returning to the show today is super trader Scott Supak. Scott's going to reveal a tactic that he uses to achieve his leaderboard topping returns, and will share his current best bets with us. So to get the most out of this podcast, as always, you should open up Predictit.org, click on the markets tab, which is top left, follow along, and leave your ideologies at the door. Mike is our producer, Mike the Mike, an editor of Luckbox Magazine as well, and a prediction market trader. Mike, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I think it is safe to say that last night was certainly fun, but it was also much more stressful than I think we thought it would be going into this election.
It was fun to be trading in real time and see how the markets were responding and the opportunities that existed as election results were actually coming in. At that point, it's no longer a binary outcome. There are still many trading opportunities throughout the evening, and we experienced that and even capitalized on a couple of those.
Well, it was very close, almost down to the wire. I think it wasn't until over 80% of precincts were reported that finally people started projecting Sanders to be the winner last night.
Well, we ended up having a good night, but we both commented in our text back and forth that we knew Scott was having a better night. So let's introduce our super trader. Scott Supak was on with us last week and told us what to expect last night in the New Hampshire primaries, and so much of it came through. So we know you had a good evening. How'd it go for you, Scott?
Very well, thank you.
Well, you are up 390% plus on a year-to-date basis on ROIs thus far. So we were able to use some of the recommendations that you had, and they worked out pretty well for us. So what worked out best for you last night?
Sanders, but it was hairy. there was some worry there for a little while.
Well, after we recorded last week's episode, we gave it the title Bye Bye Biden, and you really capitalized on that. Biden as a short turned out to be a really smart trade.
You could see it from space.
Well, I think space pretty much defines this.
You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lion dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but you're now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a little bit confusing in Iowa.
If it was confusing in Iowa, I wonder what he's going to be saying about New Hampshire.
Well, he left. He left New Hampshire. He didn't even stick around to say thank you. He was
not nice for your to not stay around. At least thank the crew.
It's not the confidence that we expected after this comment.
Do you agree with that? That if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, Democrats will lose?
I refuse to suggest any Democrat can lose. I think we could run Mickey Mouse against this president and have a shot.
Wow.
I had not heard that one.
Well, as long as he's not the candidate, why is it that every one of Biden's references is from the 1930s? Right? Mickey Mouse. And
Whoa, Mickey Mouse is still relevant.
Lying face, dog face, pony soldier.
Is that from the 30s? Is that what that's from?
Well, they go back quite a ways. We'll say that much.
His attempts at folkiness just fall so flat. It's so sad.
Well, wasn't his bus named the No Malarkey Tour?
Yes, that's right.
Well, Scott, let me take advantage of your expertise for a second. What would you say is the likelihood that we'll see a Mickey Mouse market on Predictit anytime soon?
Oh, if only Predictit was more like PPP polling, which asks those fun questions, we could have some, but we have had some joke markets before. I can't think of any offhand.
Speaking of TPP polling, we were thinking about TYT as well. One of my big regrets is I did not get to listen to TYT this morning. That's the Young Turks. I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but the Young Turks has been on for over 12 years. It's the progressive home base, and that's where the Burning Bros come for their feeding before they go out and troll people on the internet.
And I would have to disagree with that characterization. They're kind of the aggressive left of the far left. I'd say there's a bunch of Bernie Bros that don't quite go that far.
I think that's fair to say, but what we definitely want to hear is what they had to say, and here's what they had to say this morning.
Okay, then, yeah.
Well, bit of an important update. Bernie wins. It's been called. 82% reporting, 83% reporting.
Wow.
26-24. Bernie Sanders has won the state of New Hampshire. That's right. Bernie wins.
Nice fireworks sound effects going on back there.
I could never listen to that podcast.
You know what that conjures up to me is what the Mean Girls must have been like the day that Fetch became a thing. if that means anything to you. I mean, they've been touting this event for such a long time. I knew they were going to be elated, and it was going to be a really, really happy day for those over at the Young Turks.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, because Bernie didn't win by that much.
Well, that's true. That's true. And he's not receiving, the mainstream Democratic establishment is not very happy about it. And let's listen to James Carville.
Seems that there's a certain part of the Democratic Party that wants us to be a cult. I'm not interested in being in a cult.
What do you think? Has Bernie Sanders mainstream socialism, which was the clip at the outset of today's episode?
Well, first of all, you have to define socialism. Are we talking Stalin here? Are we talking left libertarianism, like what you see in Europe?
Well, how does Bernie define it? His socialism?
He says he claims to be a democratic socialist, which would be much more of the free markets with a strong safety net, like what you see in the Nordic countries.
Okay, but doesn't democratic socialism remind you a bit of George Carlin with the jumbo shrimp and military intelligence routine?
I've noticed that a lot of older folks have this problem. They associate socialism with Stalin, and that's not the kind of socialism that we're talking about here. We're talking much more about how much control does the state have over the means of production? We already do quite a bit of that, even with Republican presidents. So there's a lot of that going on. How much does Bernie want to do? Well, he really just wants to take over healthcare. And, you know, that I don't think that makes you Stalin.
And that's true, but you're talking about the debate of style over substance. And the question, here really is, will socialism resonate? Who was it that said, will it play in Peoria, right?
And this is a good question. I'm seeing good polling signs, Bernie picking up some minority votes. I think anybody who wins the Democratic nomination is going to get labeled a socialist, even if they just want Medicare for buy-in. You're going to get painted with a broad brush no matter what you do. And I already see Bernie backing off of the M4A and saying there would have to be a time where you implement it, and there would be some lag time. So you already seem trying to back off a little bit for the general election. So I think it's a big question of whether people will see past all the BS and try to look at the issues, because, you know, getting health care is a good thing.
I think we're going to be in the BS for quite a while.
Absolutely. Especially considering who they're running against.
That's right. This morning, Russell Berman in Atlantic said last night was the night that socialism went mainstream. Mm. And I think we'll be hearing that term a lot. But I think democratic socialism doesn't quite modify that noun to the extent that...
I have a better example for you then. Ronald Reagan put out an album in 1960 saying that if we got Medicare, well, we would be on the road to socialism. Was he right?
No. And how the album
did. I rest my case. Right. Medicare is socialism, though. I mean, it's democratic socialism. It's a strong safety net. We take in taxes, everybody pays in, and we pay back out. Now, the fact that we spend a lot more money treating lung cancer than the price of a pack of cigarettes, it makes it kind of questionable whether it's profitable socialism. I mean, as long as we're subsidizing tobacco, we're going to lose money.
I think this comes back to a marketing debate, and I think there's a big part of the electorate out there that considers putting the word democratic in front of socialism is no different from putting the word castrated in front of convicted child molester.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree and move on with our job.
Because... exactly. Right. No, I'm not saying I agree. I'm saying that's what we're going to be hearing a lot of.
Of course, and you're going to hear that if Joe Biden was the nominee. I
think that's very true. So the big question is, how much does New Hampshire matter?
To me, as a bettor or as an investor, it matters in the sense that Bernie didn't win by that much, and that the real winner was Klobuchar and Buttigieg. They together had an incredible performance. If that was one candidate, if that was Joe Biden, the whole thing would be over at this point.
Well, as a recap on the numbers, Bernie had 75,690 votes, which was about 4,000 votes in front of Pete Buttigieg. They shared the delegate count at 9. I think, so you're right, it wasn't a big lead, that's for certain. But of course, it wasn't the binary event it was 4 years ago. I'm sorry, 8 years ago, right? When it was Bernie and Hillary.
Right. And if you, from my point of view, the thing to look at would be, look at the 538 polling average of New Hampshire. You had, they had predicted Pete would be 21.6 and he got 24.4. They basically got Bernie's number just right. They severely underestimated Amy. They said 10.3 for Amy and she got 19.8. So your real story to me here is that the polls are not catching the Klobuchar surge and they're underestimating Pete. And this is the second, you know, they also underestimated Pete a little bit in Iowa. They had him up for a while and then the polls showed him dropping, but he came back and overperformed the polls. So that's something we really should keep an eye on if we're going to be putting our money on it.
Well, I know you're going to be bringing that up in the trade section later on when you get into your three favorite trades for the day. There was an interesting statistic that came out that no Democratic nominee has ever ended up leading the party into the general election that did not come first or second in New Hampshire. And this goes back to 1972 with George McGovern, followed by Jimmy Carter, then Mondale, Dukakis, Clinton, Gore, Kerry, Obama, and Hillary all came first or second in New Hampshire. Do you think that makes any sense? Is that a trend that we're going to continue to see? That would basically mean that either Buttigieg or Sanders is our nominee, if that trend that goes back since 1972 were to hold true.
I would say old patterns like that are good rules of thumb, but the sheer number of people in this race kind of make all bets off. It's really hard to tell with this many people.
And additionally, with the changing demographic too, when you think about why New Hampshire even matters that much, with a 95% black population, 95% white, 1% black, 1% Hispanic, whereas nationally we're 57% white, 20%
yes,
black,
yes,
and 15% Hispanic.
Mm-hmm. Nevada is going to be the first true test, as far as I'm concerned. So I would say I would add Nevada to that calculation and say that the winner is going to be first or second in one of the first three states.
Going backwards, I notice we still have some unresolved business in Iowa. What do you make of that?
It's such a mess. I don't get into the weeds, but the group that I work with has some very brilliant people on this, and they all tell me that at 80 cents, Pete is good value.
But with Iowa still outstanding and a winner has not been called there yet, Pete's trading at about 80 cents, Bernie at about 20. Why aren't there more people closing the longs on buying Bernie at 80?
That's an excellent question. I did, when I first got involved in prediction markets, I read a few papers, one of which was by Justin Wolfers, who I really like. And I learned from him that long shot bias kicks in at around 20 cents. So, and the lower you go, the stronger the bias gets. So at 10 cents, you've got twice the bias that you had at 20. I'm not sure with the curve here, but along, think of it that way. So the further past 80 cents somebody gets, the more resistance there's going to be from people trying to buy the long shot back the other way. So the volume's going to pile in against you. And it's easier to buy cheap shares than it is to buy expensive shares. You hit your limit sooner, you run out of your $850 sooner if you're buying 80 cent yeses than somebody who's buying 20 cent no's.
Well, your strategy of buying no's, which you went into in depth in our prior episode, I hope everybody goes back and listens to it because you taught Mike and I quite a bit. We had no's last night and we did well with that. And you're right, you're using the house's money, and it was just a trade that we owe directly to you. We're like the rookie casino gamblers that walk into the casino for the first time, win a lot of money, and think it's that easy. But since Mike and I have started on trading on Predicted, we're both up materially in the double digits, and we've never looked back. And the handful of people we've introduced these markets to as well, they're all making money. And a lot of it has to do with understanding about buying no's. So,
well, you made a really sort of risky yet profitable last minute no purchase, right?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Mike, because we were talking about that in real time last night. And I really wanted to ask you about the wisdom of this trade that I did last night, which fortunately worked out. But mid evening, I bought, while the results were with 80% of the vote in last night, I bought the no's on Buttigieg. And I was surprised that I could still pick them up for 91 cents.
That's when it got to 91 cents for those no's was when I knew I was safe. So you were getting in on a very safe bet. And that just goes to show how much volume there is of people trying to get out. They just want out. You know, the sell at 90 rule that I mentioned last week, a lot of people follow that. They sell at 91, 92, progressively larger amount. Not so much because they think they might lose, that something might change, but just because they want the cash to move on to something that's going to give them better value.
Well, I'll tell you, Scott, when Jeff and I were talking as he was making this trade, I thought it was extremely risky. And one of the reasons for that was I was following very closely the New York Times needle. Mm-hmm. And it was still giving Sanders, like at that time that he made that trade, ballpark a little over 50% shot of actually winning New Hampshire's. And yes. Pete was slowly rising. And, you know, I was thinking, I do not have the heart for that kind of trade. I was already freaking out. And
that you know, and there's the other part of it. It takes giant ones to really go in at 91 cents. And there are traders who do it. They go in and they clean up. Once they think it's a sure thing, they'll go in and buy as many 95 cent yeses as they can afford.
Well, here's another perspective. At Luckbox Magazine, we're all about probability. That's what we focus on. And at that time, with about 80% of the vote in, with the 5,000 vote total that he had, considering what that 80% represented, the math suggested that the remaining 50,000 votes to be cast would have to come in 30% Buttigieg and 20% Sanders for him to overcome that 5,000 vote deficit. And that would be a material reversal from what the trend was with 80% of the vote in. And it seems statistically like an outlier, which is why that seemed like a sure bet.
And that's a good way to think about it. It's a very good way to think about it. The thing you need to be careful about there is you need to know where the votes are coming from that are still out.
Exactly, so right.
This is why election Twitter spends so much time on maps. Maps are so important, so you can get an idea if you know this particular precinct is still out. It's a you know, highly educated, richer suburb. It's more likely to going to go for Pete. And those are the kind of things you kind of need to know instinctually.
Well, that was the other ace in the hole. CNN was reporting that the two outstanding counties, or among the outstanding counties at that point, were precincts. College campuses as well, which, you know, instinctively we thought would be tilting towards.
In that case, given that information, 91 cents is a very good EV bet.
All right. Well, EV is going to be part of the tactics. But right before we get into that, when we ask you to share one of the tactics that has led to your kind of chart-topping returns and some material funds that you've collected off predicted over the years, what about Bloomberg?
You're the ones who went long on them. You should tell me what about this is the part of the podcast where you teach me something.
Well, I don't know, Scott, if you I know you said in the last episode you don't like to focus too much on what the candidates were saying or what the candidates say in general, but were you following any sort of election television while this was going on?
Have it on, but with the sound off. I listen to music instead.
Well, one of the interesting things, Jeff and I both had different channels on. You were watching CNN, was it, Jeff?
MSNBC.
I think I was watching what was it, CBS or something. And in either case, although he wasn't even on the ballot in New Hampshire, every single station multiple times throughout the night would bring up Bloomberg. They talk about Bloomberg. He was a very big topic of discussion last night.
Yeah, the moderate savior, he looks like.
But it wasn't always positive discussion as well.
Well, I can imagine, especially if you're watching MSNBC. Before you move on, I'll say I watch MSNBC because I turn the sound on when Carnacki is talking. He's one of the best.
Carnacki's great at reporting the live results, right?
He's one of the best,
Yeah. Well, last night on CNN, Jill Filipovic made the comment that Michael Bloomberg is the wrong person to lead the diverse Democratic coalition. And this is a result of the 2015 audio clip that surfaced that basically had Bloomberg speaking to the stop and frisk police method in New York City while he was mayor, where he essentially said, throw the kids up against the wall and frisk them. And that's the way you address the problem. And he was speaking directly about minorities. How much legs is that going to have? I mean, Bloomberg is a savior right now for the Democratic establishment who doesn't like the idea of a socialist leading the ticket.
This is a hard thing to call. First of all, we should never assume that minorities are monolithic. There's plenty of black people who will hide under the wing of authoritarianism happily if it makes them safe. Second of all, one of the things that I did not see anybody on the television mention for Bloomberg is that when you dive into the data from Stop and Frisk, it turns out that white people had weapons and drugs at much higher rates than minorities. So when he says that we just didn't target enough minorities, he actually had it backwards. If you really want to make Stop and Frisk work, you should focus on white people. So
well, the irony is he is the data master too. So if he has
right. Here he is doing what Trump has now normalized, which is just taking statistics and making them meaningless. I mean, we've always done that to some. We've all damn lies and statistics. But there was always some at least adherence to trying to be true, trying to care about what's true. But now people just throw things out. I mean, for Bloomberg to say that he should have focused more on minorities is the exact opposite of what the data show.
Well, so, here are some breaking data that actually speaks to this. Specifically, Quinnipiac released a poll a couple days ago. I don't know if you saw it, but it spoke to the African-American support of the Democratic primary candidates. And Biden in late January had 52% of that of Black American support. And now that number's down to 27%. But Bloomberg, during that same period, went up from 8% to 22% in the Black community. And then there's an irony that Mayor Pete went from 0 to 4%. So he's still not getting traction there, but Bloomberg seemed to be, and this is pre-release of the 2015 audio clip about Stop and Frisk.
Well, I think Bernie also picked up some minority support as well. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he did.
I'm certain he would, right. Yeah, I don't have his numbers as well. But your Bye-Bye Biden theme that we titled episode number one with certainly resonated last night and allowed Mike and I, your young students here, to pick up a couple of dollars. So we're going to move on and ask you for another trading tactic coming up in a moment. All right, we're back with Scott Supak, our super trader at Predictit.org. And remember, you can open up a Predictit.org account and make a quick $20 on your very first trade by simply going to Predictit.org/promo/TPT20. That's Predictit.org/promo/TPT, as in the political trade, 20. And you'll get a quick $20 in addition to your deposit, as long as you deposit at least $20. So that gets you your first trade with a 100% return, but we're interested in making a little bit more than that. Scott, you really helped us out in teaching us all about buying no's in the last episode, but you've got a new theme you want to share with us, and we're going to turn it over to you. What do you have for us?
Well, we call it positive expected value, or plus EV. It's a basic gambling idea. Statisticians use it. It's pretty simple. The idea is, would you profit if you place that bet over and over again? So whatever its price is, it doesn't matter what its price is. If you took that price and bet that same thing over and over again all the time, which is possible in polling markets, if we had any, it's going to pay off in the long run if you keep doing it. That's the idea. So when you see something like that, what it's telling you is that its price is not the same as its real probability. And as a predictor, it's your job to correct the market. So go in there if you think it's wrong. One of my favorite sayings is prediction markets will pay you to make them smarter. If you think it's being stupid, go in there and make it smarter. And that's a plus EV bet.
Could you maybe walk us through a hypothetical example of this?
Coming up in the trade section, you've been asking about my Biden shorts. And I would say that there's still the possibility that his current price might be right, but you can get in by putting in bids for less than that on his nose and get yourself some good plus EV bets that way. So he seems, I think this morning when I checked, he was 18 cents in Tennessee. If you can get that no for 75 cents, which would be a 25 cent yes, that's probably a pretty good EV bet. Now, Biden could make a comeback. You're going out on a limb here, but by buying no's, at least you've hedged with all the other no's. So, you know, you're only going to lose that one contract. You have all those other winning contracts to help you out.
So, Scott, in prediction market trading, expected value is a really helpful component. Let me ask you a theoretical question, though, because it's applied by poker players frequently. If you're counting outs as a poker player, which you must do to be a competitive player, understanding the outs and the ratio determines your expected value for your hand, how many times you will win in that competitive situation with the cards you're currently holding and the outs that you have. Expected value for you probability geeks and probability theory is a key aspect of probability distribution. It's basically calculated as the sum of all possible values, each multiplied by the probability of its occurrence. In poker, you have the opportunity to play dozens, if not hundreds, of hands in a session that allows that probability to come true after a while. So if something is a 40% outcome for a win, or let's say 60% outcome, and you lose, if you continue to play in that same manner over the course of that evening, it's going to work for you. But how do you apply expected value in a market that doesn't allow you to come at it on multiple occasions so that the odds pay out over time? So for example, if you were to look at the who will win the presidential 2020 president's market, there's only one event there. So even though the expected value for somebody might look really attractive, if you lose, you lose, and probability is not going to help you.
Well, you're looking at the outcome in terms of whether it wins or loses, whether the contract pays a dollar or zero. The way I look at it is if I can get Biden nose in Tennessee for 75 cents, then I'm going to sell a bunch of them when those nose hit 90 cents. So I could actually sit there and make market buying at 75 and selling at 85 over and over again, making my 75 plus EV off the charts, because I'm not only making a profit every time I buy one, but eventually I've made enough profit that I can just keep a bunch of them for free. And then I get a bonus if he actually does lose Tennessee. I'm looking at the EV in terms of price range, not in terms of the eventual settlement of the contract.
Understood. And that ultimately, since the majority of the opportunity sets in prediction market trading are not on the outcomes, but in intermarket trading, that is the right way to use that.
Well, there's just not enough people willing to make market in a lot of these markets. Since your audience is more stock traders, they should understand that there are big spreads here a lot of the time that you can get in the cracks on, and you can make a lot of money just churning shares, providing liquidity to the other traders. And in fact, so many people that play Predict-It only think in terms of zeros and ones and the outcome of the contract in the long run that they completely miss all these other opportunities. It's kind of a shame.
So I'm going to put that to the test for you, and maybe, Mike, you have one as well. I currently believe that there is expected value in buying Amy Klobuchar in the vice president market. And excuse me, I made a mistake. They're not Amy Klobuchar. I meant Kamala Harris, that we have white males leading the ticket now, whether it be Bloomberg, Biden, I'm sorry, Bloomberg, Buttigieg, or Bernie, that those are the three front runners right now, and most likely one of those three is going to end up with the nomination. And in each case, they might package better to a national electorate, particularly the diverse coalition that represents the Democratic constituency, with a black female Democratic candidate, VP candidate. So that was my thinking, and I thought there was value with Kamala in the 9 to 10 cent range. What do you think about that trade?
Well, as you know, I just negative risk the vice presidential markets because there's going to be so many names added that, and the prices are all going to change dramatically as each new name is added. So buying yeses in a VP market is a lot like a lottery ticket. You have a good theory, but you might be able to get her cheaper later. So buying now, you might be a negative EV there. My theory on that, if you're going to take lottos, is Tammy Duckworth. That's my 2 cents. You get minority, you get woman, you get disabled, and you get military service.
Right.
So I think, and also she, if you go look on 538's, where does your senator vote according to Trump? Tammy is right in the, just to the left of the moderate ring, I would say. She's kind of on the left edge of the moderate. So she could go well with anybody. Bernie could pick her, or Pete could pick her, or Bloomberg could even pick her. So I like Tammy. And using your theory and your reasoning there, for I got Tammy for 2 cents. I see she's up to 3 now.
So that, you just defined value. All right. So you beat me materially.
It's a tricky market, so just beware in there. And remember, they're going to add a lot of names, which is why I like to neg risk that market. At the moment, I have less than $100 in risk with a over $1,000 payout on Duckworth.
So another way to use expected value and still invest under this investment thesis in that market was to buy nose on some of the white candidates there. In other words, buy nose on Amy Klobuchar, on Elizabeth Warren, on Pete Buttigieg, Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes.
Those are all nose potentially in the VP Democratic market. I see.
In fact, I have nose. I've almost maxed no on everyone except Duckworth. And that has given me, if I did take the nose on Duckworth, I would probably be in negative risk right now.
And that's why we intend to keep bringing you back to this show.
Free money. Everybody likes free money.
Well, speaking of that, we'll get right into the hot seat. We're going to come back in a moment with your three best trades. But first,
want a little more luck in your life? Get Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Named the best new magazine of 2019. Luckbox is a must-read for side hustlers, gamblers, entrepreneurs, and active investors. Each issue features best bets from prediction market experts, as well as timely sports wagering, stocks, options, futures, and cryptocurrency trading ideas. You can buy Luckbox on newsstands, but with this special offer, listeners of The Political Trade can receive a 10-issue digital subscription absolutely free. Just visit getluckbox.com to receive the award-winning magazine right in your inbox. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox for free today. Learn more at getluckbox.com.
All right, welcome back. You've raised expectations for us, Scott, because you're making money for us from our last episode, but we're going to come right back now with some actionable advice from you. So we look to our guests each week for three specific markets where they see opportunity. Scott, what do you have for us?
Keep shorting Biden. It's going to be tricky. You really need to see some polling before you go in too big. But if there's any place you can find him overpriced, like I was saying earlier, if you can get him for a no on Biden in Tennessee for 75 cents, that would probably be a good bet. The deeper into the South you go, the less I would want to short him at the moment, because somebody put it once, we got out over our skis on him a couple of times at Predict It, thinking he was done when he wasn't. So I would be real careful in the Deep South. But anywhere else you can see, his price has already taken a pounding. Places like Colorado and Maine, so the only place really left to short him and make any money at all is the South. Now, if you've got the nose on other people, you can go in there and short Biden, and it doesn't cost you a lot out of your bankroll. So
well, Let's walk through those. In Tennessee, we were at 18 cents. Do you like that?
It's that's about probably where the price should be. So if you can get the nose for where the, you know, if the yes gets up to 25 and you can get those 75 cent nose, especially if it goes any more than that, I don't see him being worth more than 20 cents in Tennessee at the moment. He doesn't have much money. He's not bringing in a lot of money, and Bloomberg's just going to eat him alive.
And what market looks best then? What about Arkansas or Texas?
Arkansas, he's 14 cents. Texas, he's 12 cents. I think those both might be a little bit high. I would say he probably has a better chance in Arkansas than Texas, maybe because Latinos might go more for Pete than black people. I don't know. It's very tricky at this point. But I would say that the real big story here is that Joe Biden looks like he's done.
So current markets, the best, even though it's a little late, the best opportunity to buy nose on Joe would be where?
Well, South Carolina is the best price. Now that's an interesting market. I would keep a close eye on it. You've got 46 cent Sanders and 40 cent Biden. That's 86 cents on two people. If you buy the nose on the two of them and anybody else even gets close, even if you don't win at the close of the contract, you'll still be able to trade and sell out for some decent profit. It seems like the Bernie bros are getting a little ahead of themselves in South Carolina. And if Biden really is not doing well in Nevada, then expect him to not do well in South Carolina as well.
Did the Bernie bros really have that much impact? I know
there's a lot of them on Predicted. Predicted is predominantly male, and there's a lot of bros, and they push prices around quickly. They're very enthusiastic.
Well, let's see what Larry David has to say about that.
I don't know how or why it happened, but I am king of an army of internet trolls called Bernie Bros. Could I stop them in their tracks? Of course. Should I? Yes. Will I?
I love it. It's so great.
Well, we rumor has it you do a Bernie impression. We're going to hold back on that one until the next episode.
Oh, that's a good teaser for future episodes.
It is a good teaser.
I'll work on it between now and then.
Yeah, all right, keep listening for Scott Supak's Bernie Sanders impression, episode 4.
So South Carolina is a short Bernie opportunity. I'm sorry, a short Bo opportunity. And
it's tricky. South Carolina is tricky. Keep an eye on the polling. Keep an eye on Nevada. There hasn't been a poll out of Nevada in a month, and that's really sad. So if you get any polling out of Nevada and you see any sign that Biden is not going to do well in Nevada, then I would say short him in South Carolina, but short him lightly.
Well, speaking of Nevada, I know that you have some thoughts about where Pete is right now. So your second trade idea?
Pete in Nevada is going to be very interesting. We have a second place market now, and those can be tricky, especially with Klobuchar surging. So you're looking at a Pete Klobuchar race for Nevada second place. But assuming that Sanders is going to win Nevada means that you weren't paying attention in Iowa. Now, of course, there's minorities in Nevada and there's unions and there's a whole bunch of other things at play. But the caucus itself is very similar, and there is weighting that makes the rural and suburban areas worth a little bit more in terms of the delegate count. So you really do your homework on Nevada. But if Pete keeps doing well and we keep underestimating Pete, and especially if they underestimate Pete in any polls that come out of Nevada, then you might want to take a long on Pete in Nevada.
At 15, that's not a bad price right now.
It's not bad, and I would maybe pair that with Klobuchar because she is surging. And I often buy tranches of yeses to kind of cover myself. I like to hedge, and I would say that Klobuchar would be the hedge in Nevada if you're taking Pete long. Now these are long shots. We are under 20 cents here. I'm telling you that you're really fighting the tide on this. It looks like Sanders is going to win Nevada, but the question is the price right? And will there be a surprise on the night of the caucus? Will Pete double in price and you can sell and double your money? Maybe. It's certainly possible. We've been underestimating him so far.
And Pete in Nevada is at 15 and Amy is at 7 cents as we speak today. So you see some possible value there in Nevada.
Right. And just watch for polls.
Is Pete undervalued anywhere else, in your opinion?
Well, I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself, but, you know, I spent a lot of time buying no's on Pete throughout the South. And if I see any sign at all that he's picking up some minority support in what should be some polling coming out of Nevada, then I might back off of those a little bit. If he can show that he can pick up some minorities, he could be a problem in the South as well. I think that the biggest, the gorilla in the room here is Bloomberg. So everybody's wondering what's going to happen with him. He's certainly replaced Biden in the polling.
And isn't Pete a little bit threatened by Amy Klobuchar's strong showing in Iowa or in New Hampshire?
Yeah, if you're into the lanes, which, you know, be careful when you're assuming that drivers change lanes logically, whether you're on the road or betting on politics. But Warren plus Sanders last night was 34.9, and Pete and Amy was 44.2. So obviously the moderate lane can win here if they can consolidate. If Warren drops out, then Sanders gets Warren's most of her. You know, you can't assume he gets all of them, but most. Sanders becomes unstoppable unless they narrow down the moderate lane.
Right. And last night, Amy announced that she has a seven-figure spend in Nevada. And this morning, she picked up a bunch of Beto O'Rourke's former campaign staff to get going in Nevada. All right. So we have two trades from you. We have undervalued Pete, and we have continued to short Biden wherever you see an opportunity. And the last trade, you wanted to talk about Minnesota.
Right. Fits right in with the Klobuchar surge. For a while, there was laughter, outright mocking by certain predicted players that Klobuchar could win her home state. Now they're not so sure. I would say she has a very good chance to win Minnesota. And that if the other moderates, kind of out of nicety or comity or whatever you want to call it, decide to kind of stay out of there because it might be a waste of their time, she could definitely win.
Well, the commentators last night spoke to Amy Strong showing in New Hampshire as Clomentum, which sounds a little bit like an STD to me. But it's certainly there. There's no question about it. Her 24-hour range in Minnesota has been from 28 to 50 cents. So she's really jumped.
There's a money-making opportunity right there. I mean, just look at that range. Somebody get in there. In fact, as soon as we're done here, I'll probably go in there and try to make some market on that. I joke around. I say that I'm the head of the liquidity providers union at Predict-It. There's a few of us, but there really should be more.
Well, at any current time, you're in how many markets? What's your guess right now? So how many?
So at the moment, I have probably 40 markets, 30. Most of them are primaries, and me buying the obvious nose or trying to buy the obvious nose.
But among those 40, the three that you shared with us today are shorting Biden where you can, looking for value in Pete where you can, and maybe Klobuchar in Minnesota being some value as well.
Yeah.
So we appreciate those trades. We're going to come right back in a short moment for you to just give us our closing luck box of the week ideas from you, and we'll be right back. All right, Scott, well, you know what a luck box is, being the gambler that you are. A luck box is the undeserving recipient of an outlier outcome. And we ask our guests each week to share their luck box of the week from their perspective in their trading pits at Predict-It. Who do you think gets the honor this week?
The yellow box at Predict-It gets the honor. The yellow box is when they tell you that there's so many people trying to trade that your trades are going to take time to go through. So that happened right as Yang said he was quitting the race. And in the next dropout market, Yang went to 99 cents, but you couldn't see it happening because the site wasn't working right. So a few of us who had Yang shares because we saw that he had been laying people off earlier in the week, bought a bunch of cheap Yang yeses, and we saw that the market was crapping out. So we sold them. We were happy to get out around 80 cents. And then we realized that if Bennett also decided to drop out before the end of the night, that the New York Times page would put him on and the market would settle on Bennett because B comes before Y in the alphabet.
And so, could you explain that for a moment?
Standard tiebreaker at Predict-It is that if there's a tie, they go by alphabetical order. Whoever's name comes, last name comes first in the alphabet wins. So in this dropout market last night, we had Yang drop out. His price went to 99 and Bennett's price went to a penny. this all happened while the market was not working properly, so you couldn't really see it happening. And then the smart people got lucky. The luck box was them buying cheap Bennett shares when they crashed, because they realized Bennett might drop out. And sure enough, he did. And the Bennett shares went to 99 cents and Yang's shares went back down to a penny.
But going back to the yellow box, Scott, in case we didn't explain it clearly enough, essentially this is a notification that pops up that lets traders know that the volumes of trades are so high that they can expect delays in processing, right? Is that sort of...
That's right. That's right. You put an order in and it takes 10 minutes for it to go through.
So 10 minutes, it can be as much as 10 minutes.
Yes. Usually not quite that long, but...
Did you experience a lot of that yourself last night?
There was quite a long time last night, maybe an hour total, where it was just unplayable. You couldn't see what was happening.
Yeah, so. I think it's safe to say that the Predict-It servers certainly got a workout last night because of New Hampshire. It makes me wonder how they're going to approach Super Tuesday.
It's a big issue. We've had problems all elections. The midterms were a nightmare. They did better. They've been doing better. But I think what's happening is that the growth in the amount of players is happening so fast that they're just not keeping up.
Well, we had a little bit of luck, both Mike and I, but we weren't the guilty parties on Bennett. So, but we hear you. Scott, thanks so much again. It's really important to us that we're going to have you back with us in front of the upcoming Nevada caucus. Because there's a lot of opportunity in Nevada, and we want you to lay it out for us before caucus time so our listeners can make some trades. And we remind you, it's as simple as going over to predictit.org/promo/TPT20, deposit at least $20, and we'll match $20, and that's your first trade up $20. So anybody can join in the trading. It's fun. We had so much fun last night trading these markets, and so far so good. With your help, Scott, maybe you can help us all make a little bit more money next week.
I will look into it, and I'll work on my Bernie.
I heard a little bit right there. Well, thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, thanks again for listening. This is Jeff Joseph.
And I'm Mike Reddy.
From Luckbox Magazine, and thank you for listening to The Political Trade. We'll see you next week.